Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, community, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we are so excited to include you in our chats about busting through barriers, finding your inner warrior, and creating joy.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So you may have heard one size fits all. Today on the podcast, we're going to be asking the question, does one age fit all? We'll be right back after this quick break. Hi, Char.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm like, I don't know. Season 4 just feels really good. I'm like giddy about it.
Me too. I feel so excited.
So does one age fit all?
That's the question. Okay. So I recently shared a secret with you, but I admitted something to you recently. And we were like, this is such a good episode, I think, to talk about, because there's so much right now about giving women freedom to age. Like, I've been seeing it online so much and I freaking love it. Like, I am here for it. Mm-hmm. I am like so over, you know, like the rules with aging and women in particular feeling pressure that they have to look a certain way. But let me back up. So you got engaged. When did you get engaged? What month was it?
October 8th.
October 8th.
Uh-huh.
And Christmas Eve, you asked me to be one of your bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited. I'm sure if people follow us on social media, they saw the bridesmaid box and the us was so excited. And it was like such a joyous moment. I'm so honored and so excited and grateful to be one of your bridesmaids and stand with you on the day
when
you marry Russ. I feel like I could cry.
I'm already tearing.
But what I wanted to share with you was this like strained insecurity that I realized that was coming up. And I finally admitted this to you last weekend. And I realized that I had this narrative about being a bridesmaid at my age. So I don't know if people know this, but I'm 20 years older than you.
I don't even know that.
Like, I know. We don't even know that. Like, we don't feel it. It's never meant anything. Like, like really age is like, what is it? I mean, like, let's be honest. So, I'm not 50 yet, but I'll be 50 in July 4th. Mm-hmm. And I realized when I was telling people, or people were congratulating me and like congratulating you and saying, oh my God, how excited, you're gonna be a bridesmaid. I had this kind of like little retort and I would say, yeah, I know. I'm so excited. I'm going to be a 50-year-old bridesmaid.
And what was everybody's reaction?
Literally everybody said the same thing. Everybody went, so what? And I was like, so what? Why am I even saying that? Mm-hmm. It was like there was this programming deep inside of me that people think that I'm too old to be a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
And it's just wild, especially today when I feel like anything really goes when it comes to weddings. Like, I think it's so beautiful to see a couple like honor their own core values and like just let their wedding be like this beautiful representation of whatever it is that they want and what they think represents their love. Like, you see so many different types of weddings. It's not like, you know, 100 years ago when everybody's wedding looked exactly the same.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, why is there this programming that I must have had deep inside thinking that I'm too old to be a bridesmaid? Meanwhile, some women are getting married at 50.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, whether it's your first marriage or not, like, who cares?
Yep.
So it took like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 people to literally say to me, so what? For me to even realize the narrative. And then
Did you have like an aha moment?
Totally.
You did.
I totally had an aha moment. And then, but it really needed to happen because I think that I was holding on to this like little insecurity, and who knows what that would have turned into. And like, I just want to like enjoy and have so much fun. Like, I'm so excited to the months leading up to your wedding, and like the day is going to be so incredible. And it's like, why would I even have like this weird, bizarre insecurity about my age? I don't really know how old anybody else is.
Right.
They probably don't know how old I am unless I make a big deal about it.
Yeah. Everybody thinks you're 20s. You're in your 20s.
It's just so funny. And then I shared with you when I first started teaching, and I was like this excited, like, oh my God, I was so eager and I really worked so hard, like, to be a really good teacher. And then the narrative I was constantly hearing when I first started teaching was, oh, well, you're such a baby. You don't know. Mm. Yeah, because I was 23 years old, right? So in comparison to some of these women who were probably 50.
Yeah.
there was this element of like, oh, you're too young. So it's, yeah, like, okay, so for a huge part of my life, I felt like I was too young. And now I'm going to feel like I'm too old. Like, mm-hmm, why are we doing this to, mm-hmm, ourselves? Like, it was just so crazy. So, and then you asked me a good question. You were like, do you feel worried about being a bridesmaid at 50? And I was like, no, I really don't. But yeah, deep down there was something.
Yeah.
It was, it's like, I was kind of like protecting myself by saying that in case somebody was thinking it.
Yeah. It's like getting ahead of the insult in their, yes, mind or something like that. That would never have appeared and still, no, won't appear.
Still won't appear. Yeah. Like, duh. Why did, it's just so funny. And that's one of the exciting parts, I think, of that, this wellness journey, even though it can be uncomfortable and challenging,
yeah,
is becoming acutely aware of your own inner narrative. It's, yeah, so important to recognize the thoughts and like notice if our self-talk is harmful.
Totally. And like, we're talking about this in terms of our internal dialogue, mm-hmm, but there's also this expectation from society and it becomes an external dialogue. Like, yeah, I remember when I was 26 years old and I left the corporate world to open up my business. I opened up a yoga studio at 26 years old. And the amount of comments that I received from like, mm, the contractors and like the architects, like, is your dad going to help with this? Or like, oh, you're in charge of this. They were just belittling me for my age.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, kind of feeling into that, being like, am I too young to open, mm, this business? And so I let other people's dialogue, other, mm-hmm, people's comments make me question my own ability. And it's kind of like the flip side right now. Like, here I am at 30 years old, and we'll talk about this more in other episodes this season, but I'm job searching right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my gap, my 4-year gap from corporate life, I kind of might have to start fresh. I might have, mm-hmm, to start from an entry level job. And I have this narrative in my mind that's like, you're 30 years old, you're really going to be a specialist or like an entry level, right, person.
You're too old for that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just wild because, yeah, you're so right. There's this expansion, especially on the internet, of people realizing that we don't need to be a certain age to do, mm-hmm, something. We're never too old. We're never too young. People are discovering their life's purpose at 70 years old.
It's incredible.
People are, mm-hmm, multimillionaires at 12. Like,
yeah, right.
You, exactly, you can do anything at any age. Mm-hmm. And the real challenge is feeling that, like, actually, right, feeling that.
Yeah, because I can say to someone else, oh my gosh, you know, age is just a number, and, yep, you have your whole life ahead of you, or like, look at what you've accomplished and all of these things. But how I really feel about myself internally, you know, and it's interesting because it wasn't even inner dialogue, because I started speaking it into existence,
yeah,
right? I started like kind of like teasing myself almost, yeah, like, how unkind. Instead of really saying what I felt was, I am so freaking excited to be a bridesmaid. Like, this is going to be so fun. That's how I really felt. But that's not what I was saying.
Right. Yeah. You like robbed yourself of that.
Yes. And because I'm speaking this anxiety into existence.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to share that because, and first of all, I want to thank all the people who said, so what, to me.
Yeah.
Thank you, because, yeah, that really helped me kind of like anchor myself again, reroute myself into like what really matters. And what really matters is my connection with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, and my connection, mm-hmm, with Ross and you two as a couple. That's what's important to me.
Yeah.
To being able to be there and witness and support you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how freaking old I am. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Right. Yeah.
But this, the programming and the societal pressures can really develop into those unkind thoughts and can really interfere with our ability to feel well.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like you just discovering, you know, this insecurity, this deep insecurity. It's not like that's going to go away the second you realize it. Like, it might still be there, and, right, and it might take talking about it and it becoming more real,
yeah,
for you to then get over it. You know what I mean? Like, so what I'm trying to say is anybody just in general, you might realize that you have this, I'm too old or I'm too young to do fill in the blank.
Right.
And just by identifying that thought doesn't necessarily mean that you've ameliorated the feeling.
The that's, feeling, for that's sure.
Along with that. But it's kind of like exposure therapy. The more we talk about it and the more we prove it wrong, the more wrong it really truly becomes and the more wrong it feels. So that's just like the power of sharing what you're going through and the power of speaking about discoveries. And that's really how we change the narrative.
Absolutely. And realizing that they are, you're totally valid in how you feel, right? Like to use like the sentence stem that that I love from seasons past, like it makes sense that I feel a little insecure given that society makes us feel that way.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and then I was sharing with you when we were looking for bridesmaid dresses and I was on one of the websites and I love to read the reviews. I don't know about everyone listening, but I'm obsessed with hearing like other people's stories and people go to town on reviews. Like, I'm like, wow, like they really like tell the story. I get so excited. And they even sometimes post a picture. I'm like, you know, you go, because I never do that. Like, I'm greedy. I devour the reviews, but I never give any back. But one of the women, she was so gorgeous and she was in this beautiful dress. And it was one of the dresses that I was considering. And when I read the review, she said, this dress made me feel so beautiful. And being a bridesmaid at 50, I was feeling a little insecure. And as soon as I put this dress on, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yep. You're like, I see myself in this.
I see myself in this. And that's why sharing is just so important because, okay, I'm talking about probably a pretty unique situation. Like, I don't know how many people listening can go, oh yeah, I remember when I felt insecure about being a bridesmaid at 50, but you could take this opportunity and go, when there was a chance that maybe you felt that your age was stopping you from experiencing joy about anything. Maybe it's, I'm too old to try yoga for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, I'm too young to think that I can open up my own business or, you know, whatever it is. It really, that those thoughts, they turn into words, they turn into belief systems, and then it can really be detrimental.
Definitely. So has anybody asked you or congratulated you about being a bridesmaid since this discovery?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so.
Okay. I wonder what you'll say when the next person does.
What should I say? I'm so excited.
Yeah. Speak from your heart, not your mind.
Speak from my heart. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
Because like where do we feel those insecurities like cementing in? And then of course, like I can trace it back. And it was funny when you and I were chatting and I did trace it back to those moments when I first started teaching. And a lot of people said that to me and it felt really dismissive and it felt like I wasn't important. And I know that these people loved me. They didn't mean to hurt me.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was just this, there was so much worth and value being put in a number, in an age. And I'm not saying that there's not wisdom that comes with experience because I know that for a fact. I am a very different teacher now than I was when I was in my 20s. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't effective and enthusiastic and hardworking when I was in my 20s because I was.
Right.
So yeah, I totally think that there's this beauty that comes with life experience and being able to acquire wisdom throughout life. However, I don't think that we should categorically be like attaching numbers and making rules from them, like attaching ages and making rules, you know, it's like, okay, here's the cutoff.
Yeah.
Or here's the entry invitation. Oh, you're not 30. I'm closing the door on you.
Right.
Like, that just feels so, I mean, you know, one of my core values is inclusivity. And it's like, of course this is bothering me because it doesn't feel inclusive. Right. It feels really exclusive to be able to say, unless you're a certain age, you're not welcome to sit at this table. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And we're seeing this a lot with women having children nowadays when later and later and their pregnancies being completely healthy.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember I had a friend maybe a couple years ago in her 30s get pregnant with her first baby. And she's like, Charlotte, the doctor told me this is a geriatric pregnancy. She said, can you like get a hold of
that? Amazing.
And, like, I understand medically there are definitely risks as you age, but to kind of like scare somebody I don't know. That stuff is not being tolerated that much anymore, which is right. So
people
great.
Are pushing back on mm-hmm. that because it's like, okay, I understand, like you said, you have to label it something, but you have to label it something that makes it feel like it's negative or that it's wrong yes. or that, right? Like geriatric implies like yeah. you're freaking old.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, and then what that can do is that can create worry, anxiety. And the narrative is like, oh, what am I doing something unsafe? Mm-hmm. Am I doing something that's not healthy for me? Mm-hmm. All of that can just become like this counterproductive way of thinking.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, yeah, we know in the teachings of yoga, and we've talked about this before, that the moment that we notice that the negative thought is disturbing the mind and disturbing the peace, the yogic teachings, they tell us to contemplate on the opposite positive thought. Mm-hmm. But without deliberate practice, just like you said, like, have you had the opportunity to do this again? Like, it's not one and done.
Right.
It's like whenever you notice that you're being plagued with, you know, some type of negativity because of a thought, it takes time and effort and energy to counteract that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like it's taken a bunch of little clues and teachings to form that thought in the first place.
Right.
There's got to be that probably
the unlearning.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I was telling you recently that I was reading and when I read the study, I had remembered learning about this a while back, but it was like, if you have a negative interaction with a student, mm-hmm. it takes that learner 7 or 9 positive interactions with you as the teacher to like counteract their feelings of, you know, whatever it was, shame, embarrassment, feeling like they disappointed you, to counteract that. So it's yeah. like one negative experience, you need 7 to 9 positives. It's yeah. like, think about that, you know? And that's why it makes sense that we're often focusing on the negative parts of life, because a lot of times we don't have enough time to practice the yeah. other side.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the power behind affirmations. Like sometimes I've done affirmations before and I'm kind of just like saying them and not feeling them, but mm-hmm. I've heard such success stories of people literally looking themselves dead in the face in the mirror and saying these things every single day. And yep. then they transform, they start yep. to actually feel and embody these qualities, and like it's real.
Yeah, it's real. It's authentic because mm-hmm. it's taking shape in you. Mm-hmm. And like I feel that in the physical part of the yoga practice and also the spiritual part for sure, but it's yeah. like you may you feel like the practice taking hold, taking yeah. shape, transforming you, and yeah. sometimes it feels profound. Like you might have a moment where you're like, oh my gosh, that was a life-changing class. But most of the time it's the subtle showing up over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's that, like, I wish I could count how many people actually said, so what, to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I needed to hear it 7 times.
Yeah.
You know, I don't yeah. know, but, it was super impactful and it was interesting to me because now I'm like, oh, I want to see where else that insecurity shows up for me
yeah.
because I'm sure it's there. And it's just so funny, right? Because when you're younger, all you want to do is be older, mm-hmm. right? You want to be older. And then all of a sudden you hit the point, you're like, no, wait.
I know.
You know? And it's like, it is this, like, if we're always chasing at something else, then it's like, how present can we really be?
So true.
Right? We're always chasing a different experience, or we're chasing that happiness as that moving target. Well, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy if, mm-hmm. what? Would I be happier if I was 40 when mm-hmm. you asked me to be a bridesmaid? Like, what's the difference?
Right. Literally, there is no difference besides yeah. the amount of love that you and I have for each other. Like every exactly. year that goes by, we're closer.
Right. For sure. Yeah. So have you had a moment other than, like, I remember you told me that about your contractors. Have you had an experience where you felt like you were like just not welcome at the table because of your age?
Definitely, like in my corporate job when I first started.
That's what I was wondering, because yeah. you were young. I'm using air quotes right now. Yeah. You were like in a place of authority.
Yeah, I was early 20s and I was like disciplining people twice my age.
Right.
In HR and like firing people, like having these hard conversations. And yeah, there were a lot of people did respect me, which was great, but there mm-hmm. were there was definitely this feeling that I had to get over myself, of feeling like I had the authority to even have those conversations. And
like, who am I to fire this person?
Exactly.
Who's been,
exactly. But
did anybody feel dismissive toward you? Like,
for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Not to be sexist or anything, but mostly like older men.
Because of their patterning, right?
Yeah.
And their programming. Could you imagine how much work, you know, like a 65-year-old man would have to do and have to be willing to do to unlearn what he thinks about societal norms, ages, and things like that? It takes a lot of effort.
It does. And it also reminds me, when I first became a personal trainer, I was like, early 20s, maybe even my late teens. I don't even remember. But I trained my first guy. I had like a middle-aged man. And, you know, our standard procedure was tell me about, you know, your injuries, tell me about your health issues, tell me what medicine you're on. And this man told me he wasn't taking any medicine. And then we were in our session and he started to feel dizzy and he ended up passing out.
Oh, geez.
And we had to call an ambulance. Like it was a whole thing. And this is the first guy I've ever personal trained.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
gosh.
This little tiny petite little redhead teenager. And I remember like after we found out what had happened with him a couple days later, it turns out he was on a medication that made him prone to dizziness.
Oh my gosh.
When doing certain motions. And
he didn't want you to know.
No, he didn't want me to know. And he didn't want to tell me that he was feeling dizzy because, oh, this is just like a little girl. Like I can't keep up with what she's doing. Like it was so interesting.
Yeah.
And since then I've always noticed like how men are when I'm training or teaching them. A lot of them are open and totally fine, but there are definitely, again, I don't want to sound sexist, but it's that programming. That are just uncomfortable feeling, quote unquote, like they're not even that they're less than, but that they're learning from a young woman or a young girl even.
Yeah. I think it's like, this has been your experience, right? Like you're not intending to be sexist, but this has just been your experience. And it really comes from programming and what people have heard and experienced in their own lives. And that's one of the like countless gifts I get from teaching my middle schoolers is, I look at every single one of them as like my teachers too.
Yeah,
like what do
yeah.
they teach me every day? And I think I shared this with you, but I'm in a position now where I have 3 former students who are now colleagues and it's wild and I freaking love it. I think it's amazing. And I'm like, how fortunate am I to have had longevity in this career to be able to experience that? Like I love it. And I don't think for a second, like that they are ineffective or don't have a seat at the table just because I was like a new teacher when I had them. Right. And they were, let's say they were 10 and I was 23. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's say it's something like that. So, but there is this, like, I don't know, for me, I feel excited for them. I don't look at them and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so old.
Right.
Right. So it's like in that way, in the education field, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I've been able to do the work to undo some of that thinking. So that I'm not passing it on. Like I never once said to these 3 former students who are now colleagues, like, oh, you're such a baby.
Right. Yep.
You know,
I like, was just going to say, that's one thing you'd never say.
I would never say that. We're able to talk fondly about when I was there, one of their teachers, right. And they were a student and like laugh about it and be like, okay, you don't have to call me Mrs. Van Bell anymore. You can call me Leslie.
Yeah.
Right. But in that way, it's like, okay, I was able to break that pattern. I was able to remember and say like that didn't feel good.
Right.
That felt hurtful. That felt dismissive. So I'm going to make sure that I don't do that. And that's really where healing begins.
Right.
When we recognize the narrative is unkind, or we recognize the narrative is a detriment, and we consciously make the choice to change it. And to have honest and open conversations. And I'm sure in my life, I've screwed up. I'm sure I have made somebody feel uncomfortable because of their age unknowingly, just because that's what we've been hearing our whole lives. It's like, just now I'm really excited about what we're seeing online and what we're hearing, and women in particular really, like, you know, seizing their power back and not allowing their worth to be in a number.
Yeah. It's really cool what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave our listeners with something that my cousin told me when he was, I think, in his last year of middle school.
Okay.
We were doing something like playing a game, like a physical game, like a sport or something. And I said, I can't do that. And he goes, not with that attitude. So sometimes it's just how you think.
Yeah.
You can or can't do something. It's how you think. You change that attitude. You realize age is just a number.
Oh my
gosh. It's not one age fits all. And you freaking do it.
That's it. One age does not fit all.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that your cousin said that. He's ahead of his time. How old was he when he said that to you?
He was in eighth grade.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing. And I wonder if he heard that from like his parents, his coaches, his teachers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that he has like now in adulthood, just continue to share that narrative. It's so important.
Yeah, it really is.
So we need more of that. As you're going about your life, listeners, when you catch that narrative, breathe into it and say, so what?
So what? And we want to know, have you ever felt like you were too old or too young to do a certain thing? Let us know. Tag this episode in your stories. Yep. Tag us and keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. I love it.
Thanks, Char. All right, guys. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.